Blog Talk Radio.
A seasoned pro with a new album and a hot emerging punk trio with songs still in process, but we have the rough cuts. David Messier and the Living Roomers are here today. It's Music Friday Live. Los Angeles, California, the music capital of America. It's Music Friday Live. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk to you, so you can call in 347-215-7511 or email us. I know a lot of you are there with your headphones on at work, so email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, I want to say welcome to our listeners at the CyberStationUSA.com network. They're out in Boston, and also all their radio affiliates who will hear us later today and tonight. If you have questions or comments, remember, you can call in live here, or you can send us email if you're listening to us on one of the stations that replays us later tonight. Go ahead and send us an email. We'll forward it on to our guest. And the same thing goes for everybody who hears us in England tomorrow. Yes, we're broadcast in England. That's on the Artistic Echoes Network. And we will forward all your emails to our guests. Now, in case you haven't noticed, I do have a cold. So I may have to hit the cough button occasionally. You probably won't know it, but, you know, if I seem to disappear for a second or two, that's what I'm doing, and I will be back. And the reason I'll be back is because one of the best music videos I have seen this year is our next guest's visualization of his song, Television is Better Than Love. David Messier knows how to create earworm music that makes you cry or laugh or just wonder about life or all three at once. He's phenomenal, and he's a force of nature. He's a record producer with his own major, He's a record producer with his own major studio. He's a singer and songwriter in a number of genres. He's a multi-instrumentalist who's even figured out how to make a television set act like a musical instrument. There's no one like him. It's no wonder he received the Austin Under 40 Award, and the mayor of Austin declared his birthday last year, David Messier Day. He's just released his sophomore album, Time Bomb, and he's here to play some cuts and talk with us. David, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Well, I'd like to just sit here and listen to you say nice things about me. That was lovely. What an introduction. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, you know, like Henry Kissinger used to say, it has the added advantage of being true. So there you are. Well, first, let me say, the reason I say just nice things is because I love this album, right?
You know, appreciate that very much.
Well, I didn't think that you could top Waiting for Eldridge, especially the song on that album, Keeping Up with Fashion. But you have. You know, this album just blows me away. But, you know, it kind of
puzzled
me.
Yeah, we do it again because, you know, it's like I want to get better every time. So I appreciate that.
Well, you certainly did. You certainly did. But I'm kind of puzzled. Given your chops and your time in the industry and your success as a live musician, how come this is only the second album? You must have a huge catalog.
I do. Yeah. And, you know, I put out a number of records as the as a member of a group back when I lived in Massachusetts, a band called Paper Moon. Mm-hmm. We put out three records. This was back at the turn of the century. This was like 2001 through 2007. But there is a hiatus there from about 2008 until 2016, where my work was really focused. I had done that thing, right? Being in a band, and I kind of was just in the studio helping others. It's really where I flexed my producer chops and spent the better part of a decade just making records for others. And finally, in 2016, Waiting for Elders was the first record to come out under my name. Yeah. My first solo album. I think I was 37 or 38 years old when I finally got around to it. So, and now this second one, Time Bomb. So I was busy that whole time. I never stopped writing music, but I just, I don't know, man, 10 years of being in a band, and I was just licking my wounds from that. I was happy to be in the studio. It's safe in there.
I know what you mean. Well, you mentioned the new album, Time Bomb. I think that we should hear some of what you have been doing. Let's listen to a little bit of Time Bomb. It's the title song of the new album.
If it was so bad, you think I'd know about it. If you were so sad, you'd think that would be clear.
Time Bomb, and I have a question for you about that. Why is life a time bomb?
You know, this track, it became the title track, Patrick, because it's just one of my favorite pieces of music I think I've ever had the pleasure to be a part of, and it was very stream of consciousness. I had written this song. We found, when I say we, me and Dave Madden, the producer of the record, went through all my voice memos on my phone and had this kind of cool Wurlitzer lick that was, you know, going in this progression. And I was kind of humming. I said, what was I saying? And I swore I said time bomb. And, I wrote it on the spot. It's, you know, life is a time bomb. Of course life is a time bomb. I mean, we're all walking around with a clock counting backwards over our heads.
Right.
That, thank goodness we can't see, you know?
Yes.
Maybe that was the metaphor. I don't know. I say in it, I don't know how to build a time bomb. And I think what I really meant was I really don't know how to dismantle a time bomb. But you know, how do you look at it? Right. Life is a time bomb and I don't know how to build a time bomb. So put it together. Maybe I don't know how to build a life.
You say a couple of other interesting things in there. First of all, you ask, is there anybody here who wants to hear your point of view? And obviously there must be, because we wouldn't be having this conversation. So in your point of view, is there a larger question there, or did you just talk about it? And the fact that, you know, nobody gets out of this, of life alive.
That was just me being in the moment, honestly. And I'm not trying to be cute answering the question. It was a very stream of consciousness writing. And is there anybody even listening to this? I think it's a question most writers can relate to at some point, no matter how confident one is in their ability, that creeps in. I'm sure whether you're a poet or an author or a songwriter, at some point it occurs to you, is anybody even listening to this? So,
okay. Well, we have a saying around the studio here that poetry's not dead. We just call it lyrics now. And you've got some nice poetry in there. The line, but I don't ever want to let you down or lay you down or weigh you down. That's really nice writing. And is that the kind of thing that just sort of pops into your head in the moment?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. In this particular instance, that's exactly how it happened. The line for me that makes that song special to me is, when I say, I will always be the one who's down. That has been true about me for better or worse my entire life. I wear it as a badge of honor.
Okay. Well, I actually think we should move on to another song here. Another song on the album that's getting a whole lot of notice, especially for its very funny video. It's called "Is Television Better Than Your Own?" The fact that the band plays on old TV like a Huero, it must have been a lot of fun to write and produce that video.
Yeah, we did. I like making music better than I like making visual art. But in the studio, we did. The producer Dave Madden showed up with the those older televisions that are, the screen's only 20 inches, but the television is huge and it weighs 100 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And he showed up with this old TV, and he, of course, my first thought was, well, we got to mic this thing up. And we did. We dragged a drumstick across the plastic vents on the top to make that weirdo sound, and, slapping the glass, changing the channels. A lot of the percussion in that song is us just beating the hell out of this television. It's the same television that we used in we ended up using it in the music video in the apartment when the video starts. That's the TV. It doesn't work anymore. We hit it too much.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did the television survive the song? But I guess not.
No. It did not.
That's all right. Its place in history is now cemented, right?
Good.
So where did the idea come from about television being better than love?
It was really, I'm kind of a punk, and my wife and I were, she's always wanted to go places and I always want to stay home. And this is a pretty tried and true story. And I forget where we were going, but I was just being silly in the car. I was kind of singing like a nursery rhyme. Like, I don't want to go out. I want to stay home and watch television. And I said, I was singing stuff like television is better than going out. Television is better than your friends. And then I said, television is better than love. And it just stuck with me. I said, that's just a great line. Television is better than love. And once I got to an instrument and started kind of futzing around with it, there were all these really fun plays on words with wordplay with the current state of binge watching, and I was able to kind of fit these kind of cheesy references to love, like if you were to take a really bad love sonnet, this kind of moon in June, that kind of cheesy thing. But talking about a television, and it was fun. It was actually fun to write.
And I'm sure a lot of people sympathize with you on it too. There's a line in there. We won't go into that. There's a line in there that I think is one of life and love's truths. Well, we can't always be on, and it's not our fault.
Yeah.
I really love that. You just came out and admitted it. I mean, to me, that's mm-hmm. one of the best lines of the song. Right next to the line, I want a TV embrace. Great writing.
Yeah.
Did you ever get your TV embrace?
Yes, I'm fortunately loved. But, that's really the sentiment of the piece. We can't always be on, and it's not all our fault. We can't always be on like a television. And that's why television does beat love sometimes, as I think you were about to allude to, because it's just always on. And what are you going to do? Sit there and stare at the wall? No, you end up watching the television.
Well, I'm not sure that it's always supposed to be on, but we'll leave it at that. Let me remind our audience that we are talking with David Messier, and you can talk with him too. You can call us 347-215-7511, or some of you are already emailing, so you must be enjoying the conversation. But for those you haven't emailed, if you want to, it's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Go to some of the emails, David.
Sure.
Ralph in Dallas. Not too far away. And he wants to know, will you be playing live up here anytime?
I don't have a show booked in Dallas at the moment, but I am playing here in Austin. My next show is January 18th at a really cool listening room called The Townsend. If he's up for Ralph, if you're up for a weekend in Austin, it's a cool place to see. I'll be playing in Austin again in March, but I hope to hit Dallas this year. And if he wants to visit davidmessier.com, we keep that updated with the shows. But I anticipate
okay.
by the end of next year, anyway, we'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
What's your favorite venue in Dallas?
What's that place? I was just talking to somebody when we filmed our Balcony TV episode about it. The name just completely vanished out of my head. The Kessler, the Kessler Theater is probably that's the nicest spot, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, and I've actually been there, too, and I agree with you. That is a wonderful spot. What's your favorite one in Austin? Is it the Townsend?
I love listening rooms. Yeah, the Townsend's up there. I'm at this point in my performances, I tend to enjoy more intimate, smaller listening room environments than a larger bar, but always happy to play.
Okay. Do you ever play in L.A.?
I haven't done a show in Los Angeles, no, but that happening, promoting this record as well.
Well, please let us know because we can cover the show, and which means we can help promote the tour, and also just be nice to meet and I can give you some suggestions. But in the meantime, as I said early on in the introduction, you're a big believer in giving back. You know, two of the places you give back to is HAM, the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, and also the Sims Foundation. Can you tell us about these two organizations and what you do with them?
Sure. I mean, what I do is I'm a supporter. I support with my time and financially when I can. I volunteer when I can. But both of those organizations, we're so fortunate to have them here in Austin. The HAM, the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, helps full-time musicians in Austin get access to affordable health care. And the Sims Foundation, which is very near and dear to my heart, helps with mental health and addiction recovery. They are a phenomenal organization. In fact, my wife sits on the board of the Sims Foundation, and I just couldn't possibly say enough things about them. Anybody out there listening that still hasn't finished their holiday giving, talk about an organization that makes a difference, either one of those.
Okay, we got some more emails in here. Mocha in New York City says that he loves your irony and your humor, and he wants to know when he's going
to
see you in New York.
I got to come up there. You know, in fact, we were reached out to by Pace Magazine. You know, they do their in studio there in their Manhattan studio, and they asked me to come up there and do a performance. So when I do that, I'm going to schedule some New York dates. You know, a place I used to play in New York all the time, I just found out closed, the Continental Club, which was right off of 2nd. It's right near St. Mark's and 2nd, if I remember correctly. But, back in the early mid-2000s, I was, you know, always playing either Continental Club or Arlene's Grocery. What was that place in Hotel Delancey? I used to love going to New York to play. We would do weekend blowouts, and Again, stay tuned for that, davidmessier.com. I am going to get there.
Okay. All right. Right after you go to LA, I hope. Anyway,
I hope so.
You've mentioned that you're a record producer, and I find actually that's very fascinating that you are in the studio business. You own Same Sky Productions, which is a major studio in East Austin. Does running a studio compete with your singer-songwriter time, or do they mutually support one another?
You know, interesting question. I mean, I would say it's a little of both, because it certainly is a competition of time. One of the reasons I'm not out touring more, and my answer to these questions isn't, oh, I'll be there February 3rd, is because I am, thankfully, tied to the studio. I make the majority of my living producing and recording music for others. And so it does cut into my ability to, I'm not going to go out and do 200 dates to support Time Bomb. It's just not reasonable for me at this point in my life. But at the same time, you know, being a presence on the scene of singer-songwriters and outperforming is so much of how we end up connecting to other musicians that become clients and friends and participate and make their music at the studio. So it's a double-edged sword, I suppose.
Okay. All right. Well, let's play. It does make sense. It's complicated, as people say, and but it results in some great music, and I want to play some of that great music. Let's go back to the album, and this is It's Alive.
Why don't you get up and get over it? If it would make you feel better, I could tell you a lie and bring it to light. I'd give it horns and feet and beautiful eyes. It's a lie. It's a lie. Maybe I should make it just a little bit taller to satisfy my every need. Maybe I would make it just a little bit longer, especially at the bottom. And maybe I should cover it in white porcelain skin. It's a lie. And it's a lie.
Well, I'm going to assume that that song is not about Frankenstein, but I'm not sure completely what's going on in there. There seem to be at least two stories, a fantasy one and a memory. What's happening in that song?
Just first of all, just because I wrote it doesn't mean I know what it's about. I think that's important. I hope it's connecting to people on any level. To me, the verses are this sort of dark underground laboratory, and the chorus is just this really light, airy, in the sunshine. And to me, it's about a lie. To me, it's about how one tells a lie, constructing that lie, almost like Dr. Frankenstein built the monster. And then you take that lie out in above ground in real life, and it just never works out. It never goes well. So whether that's in a relationship or whatever, you know, the truth is the way to go. And I think that's what the character in this song is discovering.
Okay. All right. Well, it obviously it's well discovered. You refer in that song to the line in that song of why can't you just get up and get over it, or why can't you get up and just get over it, which kind of reflects your song Get Over It, kind of a theme about relationships in your music. I want to play one. We've time for one more song, and the one I've saved for last is Numbers, and this is the kind of song that, let's just play it, yeah.
The
That is my kind of song. I love the chords. I love the tempo. I love the wordplay. I love all the interesting little sound effects that you put in there and the way you've engineered it. It is so much fun and so nicely put together. You get a lot of enthusiasm when you play that song live?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that song's special in the sense that it was kind of the little engine that could. There was definitely a moment where in the studio we didn't think it was going to be on the record. It just... there were a couple things wrong with it. It felt weird, and it ended up being something we really fell in love with. And yes, the audience responds to it. And I generally tell them before we play it that, you know, while we were writing and recording this album, this new terminology appeared in the world. We had never heard it before, but suddenly the term alternative facts existed.
Yes,
right. I guess this song is my response to the concept of alternative facts. And some of the things that I say in that song are true, and some of them aren't. But it was fun to play with that idea of, well, yep, if you can just say anything, well, that's what I'm going to do then.
Well, one of the facts that you throw out is that, and I didn't know this, that the CIA only has 9 people. I guess everybody else at the CIA is on TaskRabbit.
Exactly right.
I wanted to ask you about the printed lyrics versus the sung lyrics. Your printed lyrics say a skunk you can smell, and you can smell you from an hour away, and you sing it as a slightly differently. Do you play around with words depending on how you feel at the time?
Yeah. You know, everything is, subject to change to the last possible moment, but this particular example sounds like a typo to me. This is one of the facts that may or may not be true. It's a Googleable thing, but, you know, yeah, a skunk can smell you from a mile away.
Well, I was thinking,
unless
an hour,
I just screwed it up. I mean, I don't.
Well,
like
no,
said,
it's
you get
actually,
in there, and I'm trying to perform from the heart.
Even if there's a skunk involved. Actually, I did do some Googling, and dogs and skunks and other animals with very high senses of smell can smell the past. So they can tell who's
far
been there
out
an hour away, an hour ago, or 2 or 3 days ago. So that's why I figured that maybe you're onto something. We got a couple more emails here. Libera in Los Angeles wants to know what bands you've produced, and do you ever play with the bands that you've produced?
Well, thank you for the question. Yes, I do. I certainly do in the studio. I don't generally go out and perform with the bands I produce, but it's there's a lot of scenarios by with myself and the head engineer and co-producer with me here at Same Sky Productions is Andre Cantavi. He's worked for me for 14 years, and the two of us will take a singer-songwriter. In a lot of instances, they don't have a band, and it's so much fun to be able to – I'll play all the drums and keys, and Andre will play the guitar and bass, and we'll do all the background vocals, and that's a real treat when we get to do that. Not that it's not fun to produce a band as well. Things I've worked on recently, we're doing a record for a great artist here in Austin, Dave Scher. He's got a trio. Actually, today, as I'm talking to you, we've got Juntos Los Pinkies in the studio, and we just finished a 8-song record for an artist here in Austin named Brandon Damaris that's going to come out in April. But, you know, I've made hundreds of records, and there's a long list of people I've had the pleasure to work with. And you know, the whole concept of Same Sky Productions, you're going to find stuff from very different genres. I like to work all over the map. I have not really stuck to one thing.
Well, maybe that's why your music is multi-genre, that you're sort of genre fluid, if I can use that term. But
I like that. I like that thought. Yeah, very much so.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. And in the few seconds we have left, remind people once again where they can get your music and tell them if you've got any concerts coming up.
Sure. DavidMessier.com, M-E-S-S-I-E-R, for everything. You got links there to get the music. But the album Time Bomb and Waiting for Eldridge are available on Apple Music, Spotify. We'd love it if you bought it from us at DavidMessier.com. And if you're here in the Central Texas, you can see us January 18th at the Townsend in Austin.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, David, for spending the time with us today. When you get to L.A., let us know. In fact, maybe we should have a conversation sometime later. I know a lot of places where you would be perfect, and we'll have you on again. So thank you very,
awesome.
Very much. I really, really appreciate it. That's David Messier. The new album is Time Bomb, and you can get it all at the usual places and on his site, DavidMessier.com. We're going to take a break now. When we return, the Living Rumors are going to be with us. But right now, we're going to take a small trip to Mexico.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
Yes, we will see you in San Felipe, and maybe when I grow up, I'll have a radio voice like that. All right. For a great getaway, a weekend, or maybe even a week, go to mysanfelipevacation.com. And best of all, you can get a 5% discount if you use our discount code. That's MFLA5. Okay. mysanfelipevacation.com. Discount code is MFLA5. You know, when bands approach me for airtime, I usually tell them they need to produce at least an album or an EP before I can have them on the show. I decided to make an exception for our next guests, a trio that they're still working on their songs for their first EP, but they have something to say, and I love the way in which they say it. The Living Rumors is a new punk-ish band, and I'll get to why I say ish as we talk to them. Started in the living room of the band's home in L.A. in late 2017. They've just self-released their first single, Screw You, along with an in-your-face video for the same track. They're influenced by the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Velvet Underground, etc. The Living Rumors push back against people who try to put them or anybody, and women in particular, into boxes. And which is totally foreign to them and the kind of music they make. So we're going to talk to them, and we're going to play some of their fresh sound and the great energy that they have. But right now I want to say welcome to them because they're here. Hi.
Hello. Good day.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
All right. Since there's three of you, I'm going to ask each of you just to say your name so the audience knows who's talking. Why don't we start with you, True?
I'm True. Unfortunately, Lucky isn't on the line yet. He's lost.
What are you talking about?
In...
Oh, you can't hear me?
My goodness! What? All right. Well, it's a month of miracles, I suppose.
Okay, True.
Yeah.
Lucky, say hi.
This is Lucky A.
And the third person?
Jacko, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. So now, I understand that you're just now putting together a catalog of songs and that some of the songs that you've sent me to play on the air aren't mastered yet. Is that correct?
That is totally correct.
Okay. Well, then
we wrote a bunch of songs and it was exciting, and we maybe put the cart before the horse a little bit and ran right into the studio and recorded them, and they turned out great, but they just need a little more work, but
a little more love.
Opportunity.
Well, you know what? They do sound
so
great.
They're so close.
They do sound great. Hey, how long have you guys been together? Did you know each other before the band formed?
Yes, we've all known each other for quite some time. I knew Jacko from a distance when we were in middle school. Never had the courage to go up to him and say, "Hey, let's be friends." But but we reconnected at a music festival about a little over a year ago, and I knew I wanted to be in a band. He didn't even play bass, but I said, "Can you please come over and jam out with us?" And so he hasn't been able to escape yet, and I don't think he ever will.
All right. Well, you know, I described you as a punk-ish band, and I said punk-ish because your music is a lot more than that. Are you still working out the Living Rumor sound, or do you intend to always stay flexible musically?
Oh, always flexible. One of the things I love most about music is that it's ever changing, and there's just so many places you can go. And it would be silly to limit ourselves to one sound. And I'll let you in on a secret. We have an additional member, a new guitarist, and our sound is already changing a bit with him. So, yeah, I can't wait to see where we go.
So next time I have you on, I can't introduce you as a trio. Or I'll have to say, or I'll have to say true in the trio.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Well,
he's debuting with us this Monday at our show at the Residence, so we're really psyched because it's the first time that he just joined us this week and he hit the ground running.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's a really sweet guy. I think he's an old friend of Jacko's, and damn, it really added we went from a three-legged stool to a kitchen table. We've been describing it that way.
Okay.
A dining room table.
Living room table, I guess.
Complete with a huge feast on it, right? Well, let's play some of the music. I guess this is music with the trio right now, but it's still great music. Let's play Screw You.
All right.
Well, I guess it'd be obvious to say that you sound angry there. Was there a specific event that kicked off that song?
Yeah, it was Donald Trump being elected really kind of sparked that fuel and the fire to write that song. But it had been brewing, you know, inside of me for the whole. Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to express in words, which is why, luckily, thankfully, the music is a resource for me. I was pretty upset, but now when I sing it, I feel angry still, but really like hopeful and kind of inspired by when we play it to the fans and they like it, and audience members and friends, you know, play it as kind of an anthem. It really feels like we're doing something with the music. So that's the point.
Yeah.
one of them.
You know, when I listen to that, I'm reminded of Alice Bag, or even a little bit of Bikini Kill.
Cool.
With them, the lyrics often come first. Is that how you write songs, or is it a group effort? All three of you sort of pitch in ideas.
Well, recently when we write new songs, we kind of are in the garage messing around. I'll play a couple chords. Lucky will drop a beat on the drums, and Jacko will come in with the bass, and I'll kind of sing along, make up some lyrics on the spot. But with that song and all the songs you have, I wrote those just by myself with a guitar, and usually they come together. I don't write lyrics by themselves and then add music. Most of the time I sit down and I just need to get something out, and usually a whole song will come out in one synth.
Okay, well, there's another song in the collection that you sent me that has like a different kind of an anger in it. It's actually more like annoyance. This is I Call It This. Feels
like I'm wasting all my time. Feels like I'm stuck and I don't know why. I don't have time for this 21st century bullshit. All I hear every day from everyone is I need attention. When I'm with you, you're so busy. Tuned into what you think you're missing. You're not missing anything, no.
Now, it would be silly to think that you wrote that. Would it be silly to think that you wrote that when you were much younger and sitting in detention?
No, I like that. I wish I did.
All right. We were having a conversation offline about who writes songs, and you said that true. You do most of the songwriting, but the two guys are about to chime in. So. What were you going to say?
Well, what I was saying was that one of the greatest things about this band is the collaborative aspect of it, and how Truman will come in with like a sense of like sometimes the songs are actually completed, but sometimes there's just fragments or just ideas, and she's very open, and it's a very democratic process in there. But the last few songs that we've done in the studio, our freaking garage, has been it's been really amazing the way the chemistry between the three of us just jams out and is creating. You asked about the living room or sound, and Drew mentioned that it's evolving, and it is evolving all the time. And this sense of what the three of us are bringing to it, and this energy that we have together is phenomenal. And so that's kind of like songs are springing out of that right now at a very rapid rate.
And we hear each other too. Like, there's something about a live sound that has carried us all the way through these practices. We practice every single day. Start off a practice usually with a jam session. And then often it's not unusual that out of a jam session comes, like, a brand new song every, like, few days or something.
It's kind of crazy.
Are we going to be seeing or hearing some of these new songs? Say, like, Monday when you play at the Resonance, will you slip in some new songs?
Yes, come to the Resident. You'll hear our new set, which I feel really confident about. It flows really nicely. Like, we do have punk, we have melodic songs, we have gentle soft songs, and I feel like this set on Monday is really just it's the best one we have yet to play. And we have a couple new songs still in our back pocket, you know, but we're playing
new
songs
at
that show.
But it's interesting because the old, literally Jacko was at school until May in New York. So the band really got going in May. And wow. And so since then, we've like had these songs that are so-called old, which we're considering to be on the second record. We have literally 30 songs. And it's just been really hard to figure out what our set is going to be. And we've kind of like, should we do this punky set? Should we do this sort of Americana set? It's all Living Rumors stuff, but it's definitely diverse and versatile. And so you're going to hear a song. I think you said you were going to play a song. It's really one of the first songs that Truman brought to the band called Love. And
yep.
that
mm-hmm.
is you and iPhone.
Okay.
So
well, let me remind our listeners that we're listening to the Living Rumors and that they can probably not call in now because we're a little tight on time, but we are getting some emails for you. We've got Remy in L.A. who says, I think I have seen you live. How long have you been playing in L.A.?
I'd say we've been seriously playing, boys, would you say about like 9 months in L.A.?
Okay.
Live
on and off, yeah.
No, I'd say we started for real in not house shows. Our first show was The Study in March, and then we didn't play again because Jacko was at school, so May, really.
Yeah.
So if this person went to Echo Park Rising, though, that festival, that was good exposure for us. That was a great show for us. So a lot of people got into us there.
All right. Well, Remy, you should rummage through your memory and find out where you saw them. And then
come on,
show
Monday
up
and we'll
at the resident and talk to them. Okay, maybe you can check and see
spread
if your memory is right. I want to remind our audience in Los Angeles that they are playing this Monday at the resident. That's over in the Arts District in DTLA. And you go on stage, you think, at 9:30 Monday night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Get ready. We have a little surprise.
Okay. Sylvia in Hollywood says, do people ever sing Screw Up along with you when you play it live?
They have, yeah. My close friends, I have some friends who really, really dig that song because they're angry too, you know? We're all like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's really a powerful message. And so, yeah, it feels really, really awesome when people sing along.
All right. Well,
feels good,
we were talking about your range and the fact that you're punk-ish and do melodic songs too. So I'm going to play one of those melodic songs that we just mentioned. This is Love.
These days I can't find any reason to leave my bed. They come and go. Pretty soon they'll all be dead. When living is key and you won't be needed them, simply receive them. Love, the strange and stupid love, you got to give your love to get your
You know, that's really wonderful. And I don't think that's a mastered recording there. That you haven't quite finished
no.
it. Do you have some more detailing you want to put on that? What can you do to that?
Yeah, well, it's missing the chorus, you know, the love.
Uh-huh.
I'm singing a harmony. It's intended to have another vocal line that's like the main one in there. So, and I want to get a bunch of friends in the studio and just really fill it out in the choruses and especially in the end. Kind of like it's a song celebrating love and how we need it. So I get some jingles in there, some more tambourine, some shakers, like kind of have it feel like there's like a love party happening in the studio. And
Okay.
You know, little
do you guys ever sing? You guys ever sing with her?
Oh
yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Oh yeah. I'm a little bit shy myself.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. Could I ask the three of you just to give me a little chorus of that song, Love, together?
Yeah, you can. We'll see how we'll give it a shot.
I'm actually down at the drugstore right now because I was getting some Flonase because I'm sick, so I'll do my best. But, Wu, if you just give me the note, I'll hit it.
Count us off, yeah.
All right. Love. Go. All right, that'll be our love. 1, 2, 3, 4. Love.
Love.
So strange and stupid. Love.
We can do it one up. Please.
Maybe.
Do it
another,
again. Let's do
maybe
it.
Another,
let's
maybe
nail
next
it.
Week.
No, let's
all right,
do it.
Love.
We can do it.
Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Love.
Love.
So strange
and stupid love.
This
is really hard.
That I know.
I just
sprung that on you. So next time I have you on the show, you'll know in advance I'm going to ask you, and then you can have it all set up. Right now, I want to play it. Okay, I want to play another one of your songs, really kind of a special song. This is called Dirty Rumor. I love you. I could listen to that all day long. Even though it sounds really sweet, it's not really a sweet song. Where did that come from?
Well, I am a 22-year-old, you know, and in LA, it's just kind of a crazy scene out here. There's a lot of weird competitive energy, some gossip and drama, and I just really am really not into that at all, but I get stirred into it. And so that song is about, you know, it's called Dirty Rumor. It's about little secrets and rumors and lies, and, you know, just it's expressing the discomfort and just observing that,
you do it with a pretty melody. You do it in such a nice, sweet way. I really love that. So what's on the horizon? I know you've got a show coming up Monday. You said you've got 30 songs together. Are we going to see an EP or an album out next year?
You will see probably, both. I want to make an album, a really strong album that tells the story of the rumors, you know. But an EP, we have a record. We have a record with three songs on it.
We have like a three-song EP, a three-song record now with Screw You, iPhoney. You played both of those, and that has this other great kind of romp and rock tune called I Want It, which is a lot of fun.
I Want It.
Yeah, I have.
And then and then for sure, we've got like, so the 10 new ones that we have recorded, we're going to polish those, and we hope to get those done March or
April. You'll be seeing a record. You'll be seeing us at South By, Coachella.
We hope.
Don't worry. We'll be at all your favorite festivals.
Eventually.
Just keep spreading rumors.
All right. Well, when you do release it, and I knew about the EP, but it's only on vinyl though, isn't it? Didn't you put out 500 copies?
Only on vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, which is a little limited for my audience. So
it's a little limited.
They can download two of the songs. They can download iPhoney and or stream iPhoney and Screw You from Apple Music and Spotify.
Okay.
We have
all
a
right.
SoundCloud with more of our songs if you really like it. If you
okay.
need it.
All right. Well, when you put out that EP or that album, let me know. We will bring you back on. But right now, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I mean, I'm really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
We really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having
it's our
us.
First,
this was fun.
First interview. It's really fun.
All right. That's the Living Rumors. And like I said, if you're in Los Angeles, catch them live at the Residence. That's over in the Arts District, December 10th, Monday. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter for updates. Check out their Spotify stream where you can stream their music and also their Bandcamp page. And you really want to keep your eye on this band because they are going places. And we're going places, too. We're going off the air, right? You've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page, and you follow our Twitter feeds, you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. Yes, we are also a podcast as well as a radio broadcast. Tune in next week. We're going to talk with Aidy, who is also Lisa Snyderman. And not only does she make wonderful music, but she has a new book out. And we're going to have a surprise guest. So check out that Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll let you know all about it. And we're going to say, have a great musical weekend, which is what we always say. And I'm going to play a little bit more of Love.
These days I can't.